They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Next in line to the regulatory woodshed, Morgan Stanley.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Federal prosecutors are looking into whether Morgan Stanley bet against its investors and misled clients about derivatives deals. That's according to the Wall Street Journal this morning. If all that sounds kind of familiar, it's because that's almost exactly what lawmakers accuse Goldman Sachs of doing. Here with us now is Journal reporter Amir Efrati. He joins us live. Good morning, Amir.
Good morning.
Amir, how much do we know about what prosecutors may have found out about Morgan Stanley?
Well, first of all, it's important to say that this is part of a broader investigation launched by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is the sort of civil enforcement arm. They work sometimes closely with the Justice Department, the criminal prosecutors, and they have a broad investigation, and some of the cases that they've been working on and the probes that they have sort of were funneled to the Justice Department, and this is one of those probes looking at whether Morgan Stanley misled anyone about deals that it put together and then bet against while other investors lost money because these deals did indeed go sour.
Why Morgan Stanley?
This is broader than Morgan Stanley. You know, we know about Goldman, we know about Morgan Stanley. There are others. We don't want to just focus on one or two firms. This was a street-wide issue where you have lots of deals being put together. People were structuring deals, selling them to investors, and then betting against them. And the question was anyone lied to? For example, if you had a firm that structured a deal and then sold it to investors saying, hey, look, this is a good deal, you can invest in this, and our interests are aligned with yours, we feel the same way about it as you do, when in fact they don't, and they're actually betting against it. Those are the kinds of things that prosecutors are looking for, whether there were any lies that were being told to investors who were buying these products.
I've heard the dreaded synthetic CDOs are potentially involved in this. Could you remind us what those are and why they're seen as a problem?
Sure. Synthetic CDOs are basically just a fancy way of saying investments that track the performance of mortgage bonds and other bonds. So, for example, in some of the deals that we talk about that Morgan Stanley designed, these were synthetic CDOs that tracked mortgage bonds. And so you had an investor that was basically waging that the mortgage bonds would do well, and if they did well, they would make money. And then Morgan Stanley basically betting that they would not do well, and if they didn't do well, Morgan Stanley would make money. So you have two sides of each deal, and in a few instances, Morgan Stanley was betting against the mortgage market and successfully, even though overall, as a whole, the firm did not do well. Other parts of the firm did not do well and tried to bet with the mortgage market and ended up taking huge losses.
Wall Street Journal reporter Amir Efrati, thank you, Amir.
Thank you.
The trade deficit grew in March to $40.4 billion. Both imports and exports rose by more than 3%. Paul Ashworth is senior economist at Capital Economics. He says this is a good sign.
Well, as far as the U.S. economy is concerned, it's telling us that both consumers and businesses are beginning to spend more freely. And, of course, some of the dollars they're spending are going on goods that are made abroad. Obviously, we've been through a very steep recession. We're slowly now beginning to come out the other side.
Markets are happy with that news as well this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.2% to 10,822. The NASDAQ up 0.1% to 2,402. The S&P 500 up 0.6% to 1,163. And the big oil blame game continues on Capitol Hill today as legislators try to figure out who is responsible for the catastrophic oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Word today, a key safety device, the so-called blowout preventer, had a leak, which contributed to the explosion that killed 11 workers and sank the drilling rig. Meanwhile, the White House has unveiled legislation to raise the cap on damages from offshore oil drilling. John Dimsdale has that story.
The current liability cap is $75 million. The White House hasn't set a new limit, but members of Congress are talking about setting it at $10 billion. The new liabilities would be made retroactive to the current spill. On a conference call with reporters this morning, White House Energy Advisor Carol Browner said the extra cost to taxpayers from this spill will be covered by the well's owner, BP.
We take BP at their word. They say they intend to pay for all costs. And when we hear all, we take it to mean all.
The proposed legislation increases unemployment benefits, even for usually ineligible self-employed workers. That means fishing boat owners in the Gulf would be covered. The bill also increases spending on inspections of seafood coming from the Gulf and tightens regulations of oil rigs. The White House wants congressional action on its proposals in the next few weeks. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
The world's largest social network is about to get into the geolocation game. Janet Babin has that.
Facebook hasn't revealed much about its new service, but it would be the biggest player in location-based marketing. Larry Weber is chairman of marketing services company W2. He says geolocation could help Facebook's 400 million users find each other.
You want to know where your friends are. Or, gee, I graduated from this college in 1992. I wonder if anybody I graduated with is in New York today.
Businesses would like to know who's in New York today, too, and just about everywhere else.
Retail is about location and mindset. So it gets two of those down, and it's facilitated by groups of friends. That's a lot going for it.
That's Greg Warren, an executive with MediaVest, a media buying firm. He says with Facebook's new service, advertisers could target people nearby and offer them deals to get them in the door. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, what would voters cut? That's what House Republicans want to know. They're unveiling U-Cut today. Every week, House Republicans will propose 5 spending cuts for the federal budget, and the public will vote for the cut of their choice. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.